the Gospel Hall here in Newcomb. That first hymn is one of Betty's favourites, in fact. I think any time I played it, she reckoned I was playing it just for her, which maybe wasn't completely the truth, but it was more or less the truth. It was a favourite, and whenever she came in the door, I always did pick it, and I think that kept her happy, didn't it? So we're here to remember a hard-working mum, a loving grandmother. The woman with a big smile, I like that photo that you've got there, and an infectious laugh. A woman that my mother would say you could eat your dinner off the flare in her house. It was meticulous, not a speck of dust, and absolutely gloriously clean. A woman that kept me fed and most of my wains fed, and the worst scooter driver that Newcomlick has ever seen. There probably was not a day that she wouldn't knock maybe quarter an inch off the skirting in the surgery whenever she was in there. She could go forwards with confidence at inappropriate speed, but she certainly has never managed to reverse that thing. And I can never think she managed to reverse that machine. There was always apologies, lots of bangs, and eventually we got out of the surgery after one or two insurance claims, you know. And what a woman. It is a pleasure to see everyone here, and I know that she has a big part in all of your hearts, as she has in mine too. She's a woman that we will never forget. I'm going to turn first of all to the Word of God before I say anything else about Betty, and I'm going to turn to the book of Ephesians, and it does tie in a little with that hymn that we've been singing, the first of those hymns, God Sent His Son. And Ephesians chapter number 1, a few verses I want to read with you. And they're there, verse 18, if you have your Bible, otherwise I'll just read these verses. Ephesians 1, 18 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places." There's a little word there that Robert has already mentioned. It's in verse 18. It's the word hope, and I wanted to think briefly about that. And we also have another word that I'm going to use, help. It speaks about God's exceeding power. And if there's one thing that Betty needs today, as we all do need, it is the help of a God who has power that goes beyond death. And thirdly, in chapter 2, verse 5 of that epistle, says, But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So three little thoughts we'll come back to in a minute. I want to think about Betty's hope, and I want to think about Betty's help, and I want to think about heaven, the place where Betty is, and I do believe that she's there with absolute confidence this afternoon. So a time like this, always three things that strike me as I'm asked to perhaps share a few thoughts at a time of funeral. First of all, a time of reflection, and we look back with thanksgiving. And Anne and Davy were sharing some happy memories from the past, and I can think of my own happy memories as well. You know, Anne and Davy were thinking about happy holidays they had up north and some of the disasters with the motors, and the love that she had for the family. And, you know, whenever I went to see Betty, which was as frequently as I could when she stayed in the village, because you always went away with bacon. So, you know, that was an attraction. You always went away with some chocolate shortbread. You know, family was the main theme. It was the main topic. That was really what took up her heart, was her family. And I know that she prayed for yous all, Anne and Sheena, and Lauren, Stephanie, Shannon and Danny. Some of yous I know, some of yous I don't. And then on to the next generation as well. And, you know, she prayed for you, and we prayed together for you as well. And it was one of Betty's great desires that you would all come to know the same Saviour that she loved as well, and that at one point in the future you would all be reunited, because life is so brief, it's so short, as we're reminded of this afternoon. Family, and of course a hard-working mum. It was Anne that was telling me all the jobs that she had done over the years. Falmers came up, and before they got married, she was a hard-working young woman. She had great opportunities, apparently, after school. She did really well at school, but seemed to turn her back on maybe a more office-based job. She wanted to go with her pals up to the mill at Catron, and that's where she began her working life. That didn't really end. She, maybe some of you will remember her from years ago in the shops at High Parks, where she worked there, as well, of course, as later on down at Falmer. So she was a hard-working mother and granny. She was well known for her baking, I can testify to that. And she was a woman that I found personally was one of these rarer folks that was able to bridge the generation gaps. You know, sometimes we all are guilty of it, I think. You get older, you get a bit more crabby, a bit more grumpy, and a bit less time for everybody. Betty wasn't like that. And there was always that warmth about Betty. Our boys, as they grew up, our boys aren't the boys anymore, as I remind my wife. Our boys are in the polis and stuff like that. You know, they're the adults now. But when they were weans, when Betty came, she had made a connection with Betty. There was a warmth towards Betty, and they loved Betty. And Betty had real time for them. She seemed to bridge about three generations. Just that warmth, that infectious smile that you see in the picture, that was a smile that came from Betty's heart. And there was that connection with her boys, so much so that whenever we went off on holiday, occasionally we'd go on holiday, you know, Betty would give the boys some money. Well, she gave it to us and we held it, held on to it. And, you know, it's almost every day you were away. That's some ice cream from Betty Murray. And they got used with this. There's another ice cream for Betty Murray. That another ice cream for Betty Murray. And so we took it all out abroad, and she bought them ice creams, I think, every year. She was that was the kind of heart, the generous heart that Betty had, not just to her family, but to others as well. Her story, so far as Newcomlick is concerned, goes back to Burnside. How many stories there are that go back to Burnside? It seems to have been the originator of many a life in Newcomlick. 1942, we're back there. The Smith family, I've got to know one or two of them over the years. They were a bit of a clan, even a bigger clan, I think, in those days. And, of course, her father, Harry, was involved with the mines. She was in Newcomlick for much of her life. Small, brief period, I believe, in Netherthird as well. Later on in life, marrying, of course, Andrew Murray. 1965, I've got the date for that. I don't remember Andrew. I think Andrew died maybe the year before I came here, around about 1999. So she was widowed for all the time that I knew, a long period as a widow in the village. And she came along here, of course, latterly. I got to know her through the Gospel Hall here. But back in the 1980s, one of her close friends, Jeanty Smith, again, somebody I remember, the famous Jeanty. Jeanty went along to the Baptist church, and I remember Betty telling me that she saw a change in Jeanty when she went along to the Baptist church, and Jeanty professed to be a Christian. And I understand, again, from my recollections from a conversation with Betty, that triggered an interest in her. If God could do something for Jeanty, maybe God could do something for her. And if those who knew Jeanty will know what I'm talking about. And so she went along to the Baptist church, and she became a Christian. I believe she was baptised there. And then latterly, she came along here, and we enjoyed our fellowship and our time with her. Now, of course, ill health came in over the last 10 years, really quite poor generally in the last 10 years, the last few years. Really quite a significant deterioration. Looked after tremendously well at Glenny House, I hear. And I remember there was a wee time of upset in the village where she really had to give up her house, and then she went on to Afton Court. And that was a wee bit of a change. But she felt there, she told me once, that it was a wee taste of heaven, So it must have been good for a time. And then she had to move out. And I know she was down with Stephanie, I believe, down in Kilmarnock for a wee while, until finally she was there in Glenny House, again, well looked after there. She was a person who I think would get into everybody's heart, and who would buy a place there in our affections. Now, we look back, and that's important, isn't it, when we come to a time of funeral. We also, I think, pause as well and reflect, and I know that Anne was saying that this is a day that she feels she needs to get through, and that's right. So we're reminded of what it means to us right now, today, that there's going to be a huge change for especially the family, missing a gran and missing a mum. That's a big, big change. You know, I think if there's one thing that helps us today get through where we are today, it's something else that we can do when we come to remember someone who knows the Lord Jesus, and that's to look forward. Maybe we can't do that for everyone, but we can look back with Betty. We can say, well, that was the life that Betty was, and there's we can give thanks for that. And I personally have been pleased to know Betty, and she's touched my heart. And yes, we can look at the loss just now, but maybe something that helps me is to look forward to her hope. That hymn that we sang at the beginning, Betty could sing the first two verses of that hymn from personal experience, week by week, as she would come along here to the Gospel Hall. But the third verse is something that she alone can sing today from personal experience. The first verse says, God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Saviour lives. She knew that from personal experience. She knew the Saviour. But today she's going to go to the third verse. And although I sang that with her over many, many weeks, well, I had never really experienced it, but I do believe she experiences it today. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. That's far better, isn't it? That's far better. We shall see him as he is. I wanted to turn to the Word of God. It's something that Betty trusted. It's something that Betty put her faith in. It's the inspired Word of God given over thousands of years by 40 different prophets. We can rest upon it. This isn't fairy stories. And I'm going to read just a couple of verses we've read already. Just share a couple of thoughts with you, if I might. I wanted to think just very briefly about her hope, about Betty's hope. Verse 18 of Ephesians 1 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Death, I know, is often linked with despair, but this afternoon, for Betty, I do believe it's founded upon hope. And that's a hope that she has placed in the person of the Lord Jesus. A number of years ago, as part of my training, I went along to a hospice somewhere in Scotland. And at the end of my time there, the consultant took us aside and he said, I'm going to speak to you about something that nobody else will likely speak to you about. And he was right. He said, I'm going to tell you, he says, how it is that you might be able to bring comfort when somebody passes. He said, you could say this. He said that there has been suffering and now there is an end of suffering. And perhaps there's a degree of comfort in that, that suffering is over. Or perhaps if there's not been so much suffering, you could say this, that had there been more life, there would have been more suffering, and now it's finished. There is a person in the Word of God called Jesus Christ. And in John chapter number 11, he goes to a death scene. It's the death of Lazarus. Let me tell you how the Lord Jesus gives comfort. John 11, 28, you're reading. I think maybe we'll hear about it later. The Lord Jesus Christ says this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So he gives comfort. How does he give comfort? He gives comfort. He doesn't just say, listen, it's the end of suffering. That's maybe true. Or if there had been more life, there would have been more suffering. No, here's the comfort the Lord Jesus Christ gives. He brings resurrection and life. And he doesn't just promise it with idle words or empty thoughts. He proves it. He proves it at the grave of Lazarus as he raises up Lazarus from the dead. And in perhaps the very best attested event of human history, at his own resurrection, he raises up himself from the dead. And it's in that Saviour that Betty would sing about so often because he lives. It's in that Saviour, the Lord, that Betty trusted. She's founded with a hope that is unshakable, a hope that guarantees resurrection. Not only that, but she has a help. Now, we have a great Saviour. And oftentimes we would go through the Bible and on a Sunday evening here and we'd look at the way the Lord Jesus Christ helps people. He never passed anybody by to help them. You know, there was a man, he couldn't walk in John's Gospel. The Lord helped him and raised him up. There was a woman and she was caught in the act of adultery. They were ready to stone her and he brought in forgiveness of sins. He didn't just pass by, he helped her.
Or there is a man with leprosy, he helped him. But you know, this afternoon, we need help beyond any human help can give. And I know that Betty's been the recipient of much help over the years, laterally in the home and from the family that were devoted to her, that never seemed to be away from their cleaning and helping her. But we need a help beyond that. The help that we're looking for is that supernatural help, the help that brings resurrection power, and that comes from Jesus Christ. It comes from a Saviour who we read about here in Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 4, for God is rich in mercy because of his great love wherewith he loved us. Here's a power that rests in the love of Christ, a power that goes beyond death, and perhaps we can feel that today, that there is something even in our own souls that bridges that gap between us and death, that we still hold on, we still have that attraction, that unbreakable bond. There is a love that God gives that is stronger than death, a love that he gives in his Son, Jesus Christ, a love that sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary, and a love literally that is unbreakable because having died for my sins at the cross, he entered into the grave and came up out the other side. And that guarantees Betty's salvation and resurrection and mine by faith in the Lord Jesus. And her heaven here in Ephesians chapter number 2. I don't know what you think about heaven, but I believe that Betty is there in heaven. I believe it because the Word of God says it. And I believe it because Betty trusted in the Saviour in heaven. Here it is here, Ephesians chapter number 2. Verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and the kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not that of yourselves, it's the gift of God. I believe Betty's in heaven, not because she's earned a place there, not because she lived a good life, which so far as I can see she did, not because of the love that she gave to her family, which she definitely did, not because of the prayers that she made, which I heard her praying, she's certainly dead. Not because of that. She has a place in heaven because she has a Saviour in heaven. And that Saviour belongs to her, and he belongs to her, and she belongs to him. That hymn, in a sense, is a wonderful summary of Betty's hope. Maybe a summary of our hope as well, I trust. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth a living just because he lives. I'm grateful for knowing Betty, and I, this afternoon, have great comfort in knowing that Betty knew the Saviour, a Saviour that loved her, that died for her, and that opens up heaven for her, and she belongs to him, and he belongs to her. What a great hope is Betty's. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we come into thy presence this afternoon with thanksgiving. We thank thee, our Father, for happy memories of Betty. We thank thee, our Father, for one that was such a character. We remember, our Father, the times that she would come into the hall and light up the hall with her laugh and her smile. And we thank thee, our Father, for her joy. Joy in our family. Joy, our Father, in the grandchildren. We remember, our Father, she loved to speak of the grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And that joy, our Father, we remember, so important for us this afternoon, that joy in the Lord Jesus. And the joy with which she sung these hymns, a joy, our Father, that was infectious. And we thank thee, our Father, that that hope that she had is a hope founded in thy Son. What a wonderful hope it is to know the one who is life eternal, the one who gave himself for my sins at the cross of Calvary, and in whom I rest and trust forever. We thank thee for his promise, the comfort that he brings, not just an end of difficulties or suffering, but the opening up of eternal life. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. We thank thee, our Father, for Betty. We thank thee, our Father, for each one that has extended their thoughts and their kindness, our Father, to Anne and Davy and the family. We do just commit them all to thee, our Father. And we do pray, Father, over coming days and weeks, that there would indeed be that comfort, that peace that goes beyond understanding, that comes from knowing that whilst, our Father, the last few weeks have been difficult, and we know that it is well with her soul, that it is well with the soul of Betty. Help us, our Father, as we would just proceed to pay our very final farewells and pass our final respects, our Father, as we would head up the afternoon road to lay Betty's remains to rest in the sure and certain hope of resurrection. We do offer thanks, our Father, praying for thy help and blessing. In Jesus' name. Can maybe ask the company to be upstanding whilst Alec removes Betty's robes.
When